Many are wondering, are these the last days? Pastor John Randall believes they are.
Yes, I believe that we are living in the last days and that Jesus could come at any time. And I realize that we are a generation, now you need to think about this, we are a generation that has seen more biblical prophecy fulfilled than any other generation since the time of Christ. And I believe that the next major event on the prophetic calendar of God, as revealed in Scripture, is the rapture of the church, where the Bible says the trumpet is going to sound and believers in Christ are taken to meet the Lord in the air, taken to heaven, and then what follows is 7 years of unprecedented tribulation upon the earth.
With all that's transpired recently between Russia and the Ukraine, many are wondering, how does all of this relate to what the prophet Ezekiel said would take place in the last days? Pastor John Randall is going to help us connect the dots through today's exciting prophecy update. It'll become clear as you listen that we are living in the last days. Find your place in Ezekiel chapter 38 as we'll hear about the plans Israel's hostile neighbors will set into motion. Perhaps very soon.
In light of current events, in light of things that are going on around the world, we're going to pause in our study in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to ask you now to open your Bibles, if you have them, to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 this morning. Ezekiel chapter 38, with a message entitled, Living in the Last Days. It was in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus was asked some very important questions concerning things to come in the future. He had made some profound predictions that prompted his disciples to ask him questions concerning the end times. And they said to him in Matthew 24, "And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus responded, and he said in Matthew 24, and he said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all of these things are the beginning," he said, "of sorrows." With so much chaos in the world at the present time, many are wondering, are we living in the last days? Is this indeed the end times? Is the return of Jesus Christ near? Now, although we don't know the day nor the hour when Christ will return, the Bible does give us clear signs that point to the time of his return. And the closer we get to his return, the more frequent the signs appear. Let me begin by saying, yes. Yes, I believe that we are living in the last days and that Jesus could come at any time. And I realize that we are a generation, and you need to think about this, we are a generation that has seen more biblical prophecy fulfilled than any other generation since the time of Christ. And I believe that the next major event on the prophetic calendar of God, as revealed in Scripture, is the rapture of the church, where the Bible says the trumpet is going to sound and believers in Christ are taken to meet the Lord in the air, taken to heaven, and then what follows is 7 years of unprecedented tribulation upon the earth. In Matthew 24, Jesus described the general world conditions during the time period from his ascension to the time immediately preceding his second coming. He pointed to some of the signs that would come before the tribulation on the earth and where he would then eventually establish his kingdom on the earth. And all the signs, listen, all the signs that Jesus pointed to that we just read, they have always been with us, but they have only increased with intensity and frequency. And some of those signs included, for one thing, religious deception. Jesus said there's going to be false teachers, false messiahs, false religious systems, false ideologies. And there have always been charlatans, deceivers, outside the church and even inside the church. But the lies seem to be even more deceptive in the last days. The Bible says in the last days that there would be a strong delusion, a deception, where even some would be taken advantage of and unaware. Often when you're looking for sources of truth, we don't know where to turn because there's so much false information and lies. That is why the Bible tells us in 1 John in chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There is also a prominent lie that is circulating the world, and it states this. Listen carefully. The lie is this: all religions believe the same thing. The truth is, they don't. In fact, all religions cannot be true at the same time because they teach many things that are completely opposite from one another. They all may be wrong, but certainly they cannot all be right, for the claims of one will exclude the other. Folks, listen, as matters of salvation and the person of Jesus Christ, historic Christianity recognizes Jesus as the eternal God, becoming like a man who died for the sins of the world on a cross over 2,000 years ago and then rose again the third day. And salvation is only found in Christ. Jesus made exclusive, radical claims. He said, "I am the exclusive way, truth, and life." Not one of the ways, pick one. Not one of the roads, figure it out. He said, "I'm it." Those are radical claims. And let me just say this to you. He backed it up when he rose from the dead, proving that his claims were valid. But not only did Jesus say there's going to be a growing religious deception that will permeate the earth, and we see it, but he also said that there would be world conflicts. Jesus said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of war." In the history of mankind, there have always been wars. But those wars among superpowers, among tribes, civil wars and countries have only increased with time. And the ability to annihilate each other has only increased in time. Look in every direction of the globe, in countries all around the world, and you will see a growing instability and how that everything seems to be on the edge. Look at Canada. Look at China. Look at the Sudan, look at Cuba, look at Venezuela, look at the United States. Jesus mentioned that one of the signs would also be plagues or pestilences. As you look over the last 2 years of how COVID has crippled the planet, it would definitely fall into the category of a plague of global proportion. The Bible also says that there will come a time when a one world leader will come in and dominate and deceive people. The Bible refers to him as the Antichrist. Heaven refers to him simply as the beast. And we see the increased government overreach around the globe. And I believe that the world is being presently conditioned for a leader that will come in with a one world government, religion, and economic system, just like the Bible says. As you look at our country and the absence of strong, capable leadership at the helm, as we watched only a short time ago, the disastrous debacle in Afghanistan, where we left 9,000 of our own citizens behind enemy lines and billions of dollars worth of military firepower in the hands of terrorists, you can see the vulnerability and the weakness of the West. We see the push to remove unvaccinated military service members and the U.S. military further weakened by the commander-in-chief lacking cognizance and courage. And you wonder, what's next? What's going to happen? And then, Russia. One of the questions being asked right now is, what about Russia? What part does Russia play in the end times prophetic scenario, if any. In recent years, we've watched the president of Russia, who has this prime minister who has aggressively pursued the reunification of the Soviet bloc. He annexed Crimea. He crept into the Republic of Georgia, and now again attacking the Ukraine. And with the Ukraine being rejected from being a part of NATO, they have no one to assist them. Europe is fearful of Russia, NATO, intimidated. And by this bold move, this evil dictator emboldens other evil dictators to do the exact same thing. Why attack the Ukraine? To bring them back under the former Soviet Union. To take away their independence and freedom and seize their resources. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Ukraine is first in Europe in recoverable ore uranium reserves. They are second in Europe in titanium reserves. They rank first in sunflower oil and exports. They are second in the world in barley production. They have the fourth largest natural gas pipeline in the world. I mean, the list goes on of what they have at their disposal. And the plans seem to strong arm them. The nuclear weapons are now on high alert there in Russia. I mean, things are happening. Obviously, you see it. They are escalating. They are heating up at this moment. But I want you to understand something, folks, and this is where it's going to bring us to Ezekiel 38. It doesn't stop with the Ukraine. You know that, right? It doesn't stop there. Bible prophecy ultimately leads to one final location, Israel. That's where it all comes down. The Bible makes it clear. It's the center of biblical prophecy. And why is that? Why so much tension around this tiny little state of Israel, which is no larger than the state of New Jersey? Why so much tension? Because it's from there that Jesus will one day rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why there's so much tension there. But in Ezekiel 38, where you now are in your Bible, listen, the prophet Ezekiel, let me set the stage for you. Ezekiel was given a vision in chapter 37, and it was this valley that was full of dry bones. And the Lord asked Ezekiel if the bones that he observed could actually live. Imagine that, a parking lot full of dry bones, and you're just looking at it, and the Lord asked him, do you think these bones can live? And Ezekiel responds wisely. He said, only you know, Lord. And then as he was watching these bones, suddenly they started to rattle. They started to come together and form skeletal structures. And then what followed was skin and muscle, and all of it just came together in that moment in this vision that Ezekiel had. And then the Lord instructed his prophet to prophesy to the breath. And he begins to prophesy. And what had happened was from the four winds, it says that breath came into these bones and they began to live. And Ezekiel prophesied and life took place. And the vision, folks, the vision of Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones, was a prophetic picture of the revival of the nation of Israel. A prophecy which, by the way, has been fulfilled. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but no other country, no other group of people has ever been dispersed from their country. And Israel's been dispersed twice, by the way. And come back together as a nation. They were scattered in every direction, deported in every place. Israel was a swamp for the most part. And yet Ezekiel prophesied there would be a day when the dry bones would come back together, when Israel would come back together as a nation. And on May 14th, 1948, in Tel Aviv, the first prime minister and minister of defense, David Ben-Gurion, proclaimed the state of Israel, establishing the first Jewish state in over 2,000 years, a fulfillment of prophecy found in Ezekiel. It was an unprecedented national revival. It's already happened. They're in the land. But then you come to Ezekiel chapter 38, and there are things that have yet to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 38 and 39, there is a description given of a war between Israel and a coalition of nations. And within these chapters, we are given some of the circumstances and the timing in which this war or this battle will occur. First of all, I want you to consider with me Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 6, the identity of the nations. Now, some of these nations that are mentioned, these are their ancient names, but they also have modern day names as well, which I will point out. Please pay attention. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against them, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around. I will put hooks in your jaws, and I'll lead you out with all your armies, your horses, your horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords." Notice the next group of nations. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya are with them, or their previous translations are there, Cush and Put, and all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah. For from the, notice this, from the far north, all its troops, many people are with you. Now pay close attention. We are told in verse 6 that the armies that will eventually come against Israel, this coalition of nations, will be led by someone from the far north. It means the extreme north. Also in chapter 39, verse 2, it talks about the far north. The far north is not describing for us the directions that the armies are coming from. It's talking about the origination of the armies, where they're from. If you were to look at a map and you're taking Israel as the center of the compass and you go all the way to the north, where do you land? Right in Russia. That's where you land. And here, although the word Russia is not found in the English Bible, in these two chapters, Ezekiel, we find that the Bible reveals the significance of Russia in biblical prophecy. Notice the words Gog, the land of Magog, and the prince of Rosh. Ezekiel is told to prophesy to a person who is named Gog, and he's in the land of Magog. The term Magog, it might take you back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. Magog was the second son of Japheth, who was the son of Noah. Historically speaking, Magog had been identified with the people who are known as the Scythians, who were descendants of Magog. The Jewish historian Josephus identifies the Scythians as living in the north of Israel, north of the land of Israel, migrated all the way to the Arctic Circle. In other words, the exact location of where Russia is. The word Gog is described, or actually the name Gog is described as a prince of Rosh. It means chief prince. The word Rosh here, as you study the development of ancient words into modern language, it is common that the consonants remain the same and that the vowels are changed. A man by the name of Wilhelm Genesius, he was a famous lexicographer, and he lived during the 1800s and pointed out that the word Rosh was just an early word for Russia. And many scholars alike believe the exact same thing. When you put these things together, you have the geographical argument. Russia is the extreme north, far north of Israel. And then you have the linguistic argument. Russia will be leading this coalition of nations. And folks, listen, this isn't far-fetched. If you know anything about what's going on in the world right now, and you see Russia's allies, and you see who they're connected with, and who they're empowering, and who they're emboldening, and who they are helping out with weapons, listen, this is not far-fetched in any way. They are constantly in the headlines with the desire to expand their territory, even threatening other nations that would seek to interfere. And when you read Ezekiel 38, you recognize the strong leadership that's there. It wasn't that long ago that we read that Russia called for $770 billion worth of upgrade to its military. And in this first attack of the Ukraine, they didn't use all their big guns, just the little guns. But now they're setting the stage to use heavier firepower. On February 18th, I don't know if you saw the headline, but the headline read this way: Russia announces nuclear exercises as fresh Ukraine talks are planned. This was before the attack. Before the attack, Russia went through nuclear exercises to test its ballistic and cruise missiles on that Saturday, as Western powers continued to warn that the Kremlin was contemplating an imminent invasion. And though Russia said that the drills were long planned, the U.S. believes that the president of Russia decided to hold them in February for what purpose? To show strength amid fears of a coming invasion. Anybody that want to mess with us? Just watch us run through the ballistic tests of these nuclear weapons. But Russia's not the only nation that's mentioned. You'll notice Persia is mentioned. Persia is modern day Iran. Iran will also be with Russia and will eventually attack the nation of Israel, the Bible says. And it's, by the way, it's no secret that Iran's leadership has threatened to annihilate Israel repeatedly, to shove them into the Mediterranean, to exterminate them once and for all. They refer to Israel as the little Satan, and they refer to America as the big Satan. And on January 20th, a few years ago, Iran signed an intergovernmental agreement on a long-term and multifaceted military cooperation with Iran. And check this out. It was the first time in 15 years that a Russian defense minister had visited Iran and underlined the growing military and diplomatic ties between both countries, united in their joint opposition to the U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East region and beyond. Things are coming together. And then just on January 21st, 2022, the headline read, Iran, Russia, China hold joint naval drills amid growing ties. Iran, Russia, China holding their third joint naval drills in the northern Indian Ocean amid speculation that the three countries are teaming up to face the growing regional tensions with the United States. Iran has had a destructive agenda to destroy Israel. But I want to share something else with you. As bad as that is, and it's coming, the Bible predicts it. When? We don't know, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But as bad as that is, can I share some good news with you? Listen to this. Iran has the fastest growing church per capita in the world. Multitudes are getting saved in Iran, coming to Christ. Islam isn't doing it for them. They're finding hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. But then you also have other nations that are involved. In some of your translations, it reads the word Kush. Kush is Ethiopia. It refers to ancient Ethiopia. Several years ago, less than 10 years ago, the Russian Minister of Defense visited, you can't make this up, visited Ethiopia in order to renew their country's historical ties that date back to 1896. And during that meeting, they presented ideas for further developing their bilateral relationship and the cooperation on economy and trade. Not forgetting, the main point of the meeting was military cooperation with Ethiopia. And the agreement that they reached reiterated their intent to act together on international issues, resolving conflicts by peaceful means, avoiding unilateral action, especially unilateral use of force. Ethiopia, Russia, and Iran, same mentioned right here in Ezekiel 38.
What a fascinating study today on The Daily Walk. God's prophetic word is coming to life even as we speak. All a reminder of how close we are to the return of Jesus and the rapture of the church. Today's message from Pastor John Randall called Living in the Last Days can be heard again online at adailywalk.org. It's also available by podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, or request a CD copy for a cost of just $5. Here's our toll-free number, 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Here in the month of May, we picked out an excellent book written not long ago by David Jeremiah titled, Where Do We Go From Here? How Tomorrow's Prophecies Foreshadow Today's Problems. Modern-day plagues, social tensions, economic crises, and rampant depression, all of that and more have been in the headlines in recent years. But what does the Bible say about it? Are we living in the last days? Well, Dr. David Jeremiah opens the Word and shows us how the prophecies and wisdom contained in it really speak to us today and help us live out our mission, too. We'll gladly send you a copy for the cost of $18. You can order it online at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. Please remember that your gifts help us to bring these programs to your radio every day. We can't do it alone. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. You know, it brightens our day when we hear of the good things God is doing in our listeners' lives through the teaching of the Word. Share your story today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. That's adailywalk@gmail.com. Next time on A Daily Walk, Pastor John Randall talks more about living in the last days as we make a return visit to Ezekiel 38. This program is made possible through your generous support and brought to you by Calvary South OC.